Welcome back, ladies. Go on.
Start off with a bit.
What a start. That's a sign of things to come. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Cinemax podcast. With me, Cal, one of your co-hosts, and the gassy motherfucker on the other side of this call, and that's Mr. Nathan Sackle-Hannah. How are you?
I think you can both tell we're very tired this morning.
Yeah, you can tell it's we've not been awake very long before we do this, but we are doing this.
But it's a good day because it's somebody's birthday.
Yeah, yeah. It just so happens we are recording on a certain horrible motherfucker's birthday. What is he? Is a lizard?
Yeah.
Yeah, certain lizard's birthday.
Lizard.
70th anniversary of, is it the first Godzilla film? Yeah.
Yeah, 1954.
70 years. That's crazy.
I know.
That's really crazy. But yeah, we are recording. We usually record later on in the week and at a more healthy time, but I go away tomorrow, so we won't have much time. So we're just doing this early on a Sunday, which is supposed to be God's day of rest. We ain't fucking taking that into account, unfortunately, and we're up doing this. But we're bringing back the category Carnage, the first one since maybe early in 2024. It's definitely the first one since we came back. And for anyone unaware of what the category Carnage is, it's essentially we've got a list of 10 categories. And we fill them out with our best examples from a very specific set of films. So it's essentially the sort of categories not too dissimilar from the ones we used to analyze movies in our showdowns, but now we're just picking the best examples that we can think of in a very specific like genre of films, like we've done in the past, DC movies, Marvel movies, we did Christmas movies, and today we've got sequels because we're in November now, Halloween's over, Christmas isn't quite here yet.
Thank God.
To bridge the gap, I've been watching Christmas horror movies. Watched Silent Night, Deadly Night last night. So I'm trying to just close the gap between, because I'll be starting next week. But this month we've got a couple of big releases in Gladiator 2, Moana 2, and then there's Wicked, which they've already confirmed there's a sequel coming for. So sequels are at the forefront this month. So I thought it would make sense to do something on sequels, and I love Category Carnage. It's one of my favourite type of episodes we do, so any excuse to get this back.
Yeah, that, and you said before we recorded, you've not prepared, and this is one of the few times I have prepared, but we specifically said second films only.
Yeah, yeah, the second film in a franchise. We're not talking sequels where you can name drop the sixth or seventh movie in the Friday the 13th franchise.
No, that means there's going to be no Dream Warriors.
No, unfortunately not. Dream Warrior heads out there, we're going to have to leave it out, unfortunately.
Well, we've carried Carnage once. You've said it, once I've said it, we can't use it again. So this should
be interesting.
There's loads of sequels, but actually to sit down and think about them, there's not that many ones that I would kind of, in the categories we've gone with, it was a bit difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. We might as well go through the categories then, since you said that. We've got two surprise ones, one that we've both come up with that we're not going to tell each other yet. We're going to really just throw a curveball later on. But the main ones we've got are the main character, the villain, the overall cast, the beginning, the best ending, the biggest upgrade on the original movie. Vice versa, we've got the most unnecessary sequel, and then we've got the best soundtrack as well. So I think with the categories we've got, it should cover like a wide genre. Like, it doesn't feel like we're going to be pigeonholed into one very specific set of movies, which should be interesting. But yeah, like you said, I haven't prepared. I've decided today I'm just going to go with the heart. I'm just going to go with what I feel at the very moment. And last time I prepared, you stole the Superman theme tune from me, and I've still not forgiven you for that, which is interesting because we went to watch the Christopher Reeve documentary this week, and when it played, what a tune.
Oh yeah, I've got a fucking bone to pick with you about that. Actually, I popped into work and one of your friends that you've spoken to immediately came up to me and was like, I heard you were a little bitch last night. I was like, hold on, so was he. Cal always cries. I'm like, what?
Yeah, to be fair, that's because I said that I cried. They was like, oh, I bet Nathan will take a piss out. I was like, no, he was just as fucking mad. I ain't being the only one whose reputation is sullied by the tears that I shed for the Christopher Reeve documentary, which, if anyone hasn't seen it yet, you should, because it's fucking absolutely fantastic and very emotional.
And Grace asked if it was good, and I went, well, I was at the end, I was like, my chest was going because I was trying not to cry. I could feel my chest pushing against the chair, and I looked over to you, and you're pulling your sleeve down to wipe your face.
Honestly, there was a bit where it was like, I think it took all my power in me to like hold in a sob. Like, I felt like my mouth was like fighting it, like it was almost hurting. It was tough, but it was great. I loved it. But we might as well crack on now then with the category Carnage, and we'll start with.
A coin toss.
No, I ain't got a coin, but I've just literally put a pen lid in my hand, and I'm gonna let you pick which hand it's in. If you get it right, you can go first.
Your left.
Motherfucker, you got it. So you can go first. We don't have to pick these categories in the order that we've listed them. You can go in any order you want. Did we say that once you pick a category, I've got my next pick has to be the same one, or can we just go in whatever order we wanted?
What? No,
So do
once
you
we pick.
know?
We both give our answers, and then you pick one after that.
Yeah, so I have to pick in the same category. You can't
Oh,
say like main character, and then I can't next one do something random and then go back to main character later.
no, we barely keep on top of what we do at the best of times. Never mind trying to remember which ones we have and which ones we haven't.
Yeah, good point. Good point. All right, you go first then. Let's go.
I'm going to go with best. Oh, crap. I think there's two very obvious ones for two very similar categories, and I don't want to waste because I've only got one answer for both. So I'm gonna have to. Oh, I'm gonna go best beginning because I feel like you would probably have a similar answer. Oh no, I wish I'd gone best end now. Best beginning, and I'm gonna go The Dark Knight.
Right, that's fair, yeah.
Yeah, I think with The Dark Knight beginning, it's. I mean, we know my opinions on The Dark Knight. I don't think it is the best of the Nolan movies, and I do think it's a little overhyped. But the beginning to that movie is so fucking. I'm going to say it phenomenal, and it's just it sets the tone. It's so not doesn't feel like a comic book movie. It's obviously a heist movie. It's so deceptive and interesting and keeps you on your toes. And it's such a great introduction to this kind of version of the Joker. I think it's one of the best beginnings to a sequel out there. So yeah, The Dark Knight, top that one.
Yeah, it's obviously the bank heist with the gang of jokers. That is a tough one. That reminds me of Heat, that opening scene.
Yeah. Which I
Opening
think is
bridge.
obviously the direct inspiration. Like, there's
Yeah.
loads of Heat references in The Dark Knight in general. But I think, yeah, I think having that opening shot of him at the street corner really just kind of it's such a simple thing, but it really just kind of gets the ball moving to what kind of superhero movie we're getting ourselves into. And it's such a good and it's beautifully shot as well for a bank heist. It's beautifully shot.
Yeah, that's true. I think off the bat, this is a different one, and I don't know if many people have expected this, but for best opening, I'm going with Back to the Future Part 2.
Oh, I don't think anybody could have guessed that you were going to bring up Back to the Future Part 2. Fuck me.
Not this quickly at all. No, because I think what I like about the beginning of Back to the Future Part 2, despite the fact the films have made 4 years apart, is it picks up right off where the first one ended, and it just immediately gets into the action. There's no, like with the first movie, there's about 30 minutes of build up before they go back in time. But here, it's immediately we're off to the future. There's an issue that we need to solve. Like it just gets into the story like right away, and I love that. Despite the fact that some of the main characters of like the cast have changed, they replaced them, and it's you wouldn't even notice unless someone tells you. Like I can't tell you the amount of times I watched Back to the Future 1 and 2 as a kid and didn't realize that they changed Jennifer.
Yeah.
Like as a kid, I had no idea, and it's like they re replaced. They obviously have to refilm that scene with Elizabeth Shue instead of Claudia Wells after she left, and it just looks the exact same. Like it's almost identical. I mean, the fact it's 4 years apart, you think you'd notice at least some differences, but I couldn't spot a single one in all the years that I've watched both movies. And I love just the way Doc shows up, and it's technically the ending of the first one as well. But with Doc showing up with the DeLorean and the whole iconic roads where we're going, we don't need roads line, and then immediately going into the future and like they're in the air with all the flying cars. I just think it's a great way to set the second one apart from the first because the first one is very much like a classic. Obviously, you know, it's my favorite film ever, but it would have been very easy to. I know the second one does obviously follow a lot of the same lines as the first one, but going to the future right off the bat immediately set it apart. And I obviously love both movies, so I was going to name Back to the Future Part 2 at some point.
Oh, I mean, obviously, it was going to come up, wasn't it?
I didn't
I
realize we
didn't
were this early, but
even writing it down on my list because I knew it was gonna. In fact, I was tempted to find a way to get there before you did, but obviously not.
would have been criminal.
No, I do like the Back to the Future Part Two one's great because, like you say, you get straight into it. It just assumes you've seen the first one and you don't need any kind of like recap of what's happened, and it's just, yeah, it's brilliant. And like I say, like I wouldn't be able to tell you any differences off the top of my head either as to the any changes that were made. So other than obviously changing the actress, but no, I never knew either. So.
Cool. My next one then is going to be. There's one that I could screw you over so bad with. I'm really tempted. Ooh. What to do? What to do? There is one very specific one which I think would screw you over.
Probably.
But I'm a nice guy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna go with the best main character.
Okay. Oh,
And
interesting. Yeah.
this one is purely because he's been on my mind a lot recently. And
Oh,
that is Superman from Superman 2, Christopher Reeve's Superman. My favorite iteration of Superman. I said this to you the other day, like how much the character means to me. And I think his performance as Superman is why I have such an affection for Superman as a character overall. Like, I just think he was perfect. And the first movie is better than the second one, but I think the stuff Christopher Reeve gets to do in the second one with Lois and with giving up his abilities and then facing off with Zod, like it pushes him to a limit that he wasn't really forced to go to in the first movie with Lex Luthor. So I think it's a nice, like, alteration on what we saw in the first movie, and it gives him something new to do and stuff. And I love Christopher Reeve. I think the first two Superman movies are great. I think after that it goes a bit downhill, but the first two, I think he's fantastic. And I fucking love Christopher Reeve.
you dare shit on Superman 3.
And you know what I will say about Superman 3? I love the stuff when he goes back to Smallville and he's
Yeah.
with Lana.
Yeah.
But other than that, forgettable.
Not a massive fan of Richard Pryor.
No, not really.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like Superman 2 as much as most, and I do prefer the first one. But I think Christopher Reeve's performance in Superman 2 is literally the highlight. Like, obviously, that scene that everybody talks about, and it talks about in that documentary, literally all over Twitter. If you talk about Christopher Reeve, you get that scene of where he's kind of hunched in his Clark Kent, and then he straightens up and he's Superman, and then he's back to being Clark Kent, and it is done so seamlessly and it perfectly that you can believe what Christopher Reeve is portraying. Plus, yeah, I mean, it is a great version of Superman, but I kind of went in a different way where I've taken a pretty big character from the first film who is completely different in the second film, and it makes him much more likable to me. And I've gone the Terminator in Terminator 2,
That's a very good one. Yeah, that is a
because
good one.
obviously in the first film he's a bad guy. He is literally just non-stop killer machine, no emotion, no nothing, just, I mean, and that's what's great about him, obviously. That's what made it a success. But in Terminator 2, you've got him, obviously, watching it now, it's very obvious that he's not going to try and kill anybody. He's there to protect him. But at the time, like when you watch it for the first time, you're like, fuck his back. They've sent two Terminators to kill him. What are they going to do now? But when you get that kind of reveal that he's there to protect him, it's just, it puts everything on top of its head. And like his portrayal of I know it's Arnie, and Arnie's not the best actor in the world, but the portrayal of a robot trying to learn through a kid, so that's why he's so kind of corny and cheesy. It's just brilliant. And I think if it weren't for Terminator 2, I don't think the franchise would still be going now. I think I think the franchise kind of lives off of Terminator 2 anyway, and I don't think you've ever been able to get past Arnie's portrayal of the Terminator in the second film. It's just so good. And for as cheesy of an action movie it is, the thumbs up at the end still gets me.
Yeah, this was one that I was considering for ending because I love Terminator 2 and I like the ending when they take out the villain and they realize he's still got the chip, so he has to be destroyed. And John Connor's trying to convince him otherwise, but then he goes into love with the films. I think it's great. I mean, we watched Terminator 2 together, and I mean, I fucking love that film so much. So that is a good pick. I didn't think of that initially off my head for main characters like that. That's a good one.
Yeah, I think it's very rare that you get a film with the first character as the bad guy, and then, I mean, it's technically not the same character, but it is, and it's like flipped on its head to be the main good guy character, and that is probably due to Arnie's popularity that they did that, but it's so good.
Yeah, and that
Speaking.
scene in the mall when he
Oh,
John
yeah.
he's in front of John Connor, he gets the shotgun out, and then it when he reveals he's on his side. I mean, I can't remember watching it for the first time, so I can't remember not knowing he was the good guy. So, but I can only imagine how fucking epic that was.
I mean, the show itself of him, like the roses dropping and the shotgun coming out. Well, speaking of endings, I'm going to get out of the way so you can't fuck me over. Is this the one that you thought you were going to fuck me over on this one?
No.
Oh, no. Oh, shit. I want to know now, but I'm not having you fuck me over on this one. Best ending is obviously Empire Strikes Back.
That was a film I was going to do. In a
It
different category, though.
is absolutely, I mean, it is the, I think it's the film ending that created the kind of, I mean, I know it's a sequel itself, but it's the one that kind of created the cliffhanger. I mean, not, it didn't really, there was other films that had done it, but it's the one that made it popular. You know, people go rabid over it. Like at the time, like, is, spoiler alert, is Vader really his father? Like, what's going to happen to Han? Is he dead? Like, what's going to happen and all that kind of stuff. So it just leaves you on a cliffhanger, which I think at the time was very, very unheard of. And it's so, for Star Wars, obviously, at the time there'd only been two, but the first one was a light, pulpy action adventure, and then the second one's a bit darker, but still very pulpy. But it ends on such a dour, sour note, like a bad ending where the heroes haven't won, and you know there's hope out there because they've got to go out and save them, but they haven't won. They're on the they've been beaten, and the Empire is literally stricken back. And I think that. If you were to talk about sequels, talk about cliffhangers, that will always be number one in the conversation. Plus, it's fucking Empire Strikes Back and one movie.
Yeah, it is a great movie. It's one of the best sequels of all time. I was going to try screw over and use Vader in Best Villain, but that's now out the window. So my best ending is a little different because I'm making up as I go along. And I've gone with The Godfather Part 2.
I've never seen the part two.
Well, you might get spoilers now then, unfortunately.
I'm not in a rush to watch anytime soon.
Have you seen the first one?
Yeah, that's
Right.
why I'm not in a rush to watch the second one anytime soon.
What
Even though
difference
I
does it make?
know the second one is better.
The first one's incredible. I don't know what you're talking about.
I think I watched it when I was like 15, 16. So I
Yeah,
was,
it's the worst age to watch it.
yeah, probably the bored out of my mind and it's tainted me forever. I will get around to watching it eventually.
Yeah, well, the first one is obviously about the Corleone crime family and how, while they're despicable human beings, that family means everything to them. And the first one follows the story of Al Pacino's Michael Corleone, who starts off as this noble American hero returning from war, who was eventually forced to take over the family business after incidents that take his father and his brother out of like the running. And it follows him really like fall like out of grace, and he goes from this hero to this villain by the end of the movie. And the second one kind of strengthens that notion where he's pushed to his limits, and with everything he's dealing with throughout the movie, with all these different like subplots, it really pushes him to the brink. And the ending of the movie shows him like go beyond repair, and he eventually finds out his brother Fredo from the first one is has been working with one of Michael's direct rivals, and he responds by having right at the end of the movie, he responds by having one of his like bodyguards take Fredo on a fishing trip and to execute him. And it's like the moment where Michael's gone beyond forgiveness, and there's a shot of him watching from the boathouse as the boat with Fredo on goes out to sea. And I don't know if it was always there, but now with like widescreen TVs, you can see him, Fredo sat talking to this guy unaware, and you can see the gun come out like into shot. And that's when you know what happens. And then there's a shot of Michael in the lake house just watching, like his like silhouette watching it. And it's such an excellent like it's like really good camera work, and it shows that Michael has like he's gone too far, and there's no way he can come back from this. And I think Michael Corleone in general, I think Al Pacino's performance of Michael Corleone is one of my favorite ever. And his dynamic with Fredo, especially in the second movie when because he's the youngest brother, but he gets to be the boss, and Fredo struggles with that. And there's an incredible scene with John Cazale, who played Fredo, who has one of the best runs in fucking movie history. He did five films, and every single one of them was nominated for an Oscar before he died. Just incredible. But he has an incredible scene where he talks to Michael, and he like stresses how dissatisfied he is with the situation, how he was stepped over, and it's not, he didn't want Michael to be the boss, he wanted it, and it's incredible. And then I've said that four times now in like 30 seconds. It's going to be on there with Phenomenal with you soon. But yeah, just the way Michael just decides to just take his brother out like that, it just shows how cold-blooded he's become, and he's worlds and worlds away from the character in the first movie. And it just end, like you said, with Empire Strikes Back, it ends the second movie on such a like dark note, and it's years and years before we get the third one, where Michael try like works to try redeem himself, and he shows he has a lot of regret. So ending the second one the way they did, because no one knew at the time whether there'd be a part three, so to have the second one just end with Michael killing his brother, and it's just, no, this guy really is like the devil personified now, he's just pure evil. Like, it was such a bold take, and I think it works excellently.
I don't need to watch it now.
No, you don't, but you
Yeah,
should, because it's one of the greatest films of all time. This is one I was thinking for biggest upgrade, but then I also think the first one's one of the greatest films of all time, so I don't think the upgrade is that significant between them. But yeah, I fucking love the ending of Godfather 2.
cool. You go
Right.
pick it up.
Right. This is going to be interesting now. So, I've done main character, we've done beginning, we've done end. Now I'm going to do the best. Fuck. This is tough. I'm going to do the best overall cast.
Okay, that's fine because I think we'll be safe. I
Yeah,
think
I can't
we
imagine
can.
these are going to be the same. This one, I don't think you'll have, but it's one of the best sequels of all time.
You've
Like
already said Back to the Future 2.
you are?
You've already said Back to the Future 2. What else are you gonna? What else have you got in your pocket?
I prefer the first one. I know you do too, but I'm going with the best overall cast, and I'm going with Aliens, James Cameron's Aliens, because while I think the first few movie we both prefer, there's no denying that the second cast is just incredible. Like, you've got Bill Paxton, you've got Michael Biehn, you've got Sigourney Weaver, you've got all these iconic characters as well. Like the whole team, because it's obviously a much more action-based movie, whereas the first one's a more of a horror. And the second one, all of the cast get like the chance to really showcase personalities. Like, Bill Paxton's Hudson is just fucking incredible. Like, I think he's so funny. You've got obviously Ripley back, you've got Hicks, you've got Bishop, you've got Newt, the little girl that you hate for some reason.
Yeah.
You've got all these great characters, and I just think in terms of ensembles, it's one of the best like they've put together in a sequel. So Aliens is my pick.
That was my backup in case you ever and I don't know why I wrote it as a backup because you're never gonna get you would never have said the one that I'm gonna pick, but yeah. I prefer Alien. I think it's still the best Alien movie. But you can't yeah, I think in terms of cast. Definitely a good upgrade, except for that annoying little fucking girl. But I don't blame her. I blame James Cameron. Like, ever since a friend told me that he can't write children, I've not been able to unsee it. So watch Terminator 2, watch Aliens, watch the Avatar movies. He can't write children for shit. And that's what makes her annoying. But yeah, no, I agree with that one. That's a good one. I went Lord of the Rings of Two Towers, which you were never gonna say.
And what do you mean? I like Lord of the Rings.
You fucking love The Hobbit. It's your favorite
Hey,
musical.
that's a different fucking movie. Lord of the Rings trilogy, I really like. I actually went to watch them back to back to back at the cinema once.
Okay. I didn't know you actually liked the Lord of the
But
Rings one.
the second one's not got Boromir, and he's the best character, so.
That is true, but in the extended versions,
Yeah,
there
there's
is
like one scene of him.
one theme with him in it. But you've obviously got the incredible cast from the first one. So you've obviously got Viggo Orlando Bloom and Elijah Ward and Ian McKellen and everybody like that. But you also bring in the incredible Andy Serkis as Gollum. And you've got obviously, I was going to say Christopher Reeve, but it's not Christopher Reeve.
Yeah, if only.
It's what's his name? I can't fucking remember
Christopher
his name.
Lloyd. Not Christopher Lloyd, that's
No.
Doc Brown. Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lee, thank
He's in
you.
the
We've got.
first one as well, though.
Is he?
Yeah.
I thought he comes in the second one.
No, it's the first one where it's revealed that he's evil. Gandalf goes to see him early on.
It is, yeah, correct. Well, still, well,
Yeah,
you've got the addition.
I'm a Lord of the Rings diehard, obviously.
You've got the addition of Andy Serkis then, but you've still got the incredible cast of the first one, and you just get more of the ensemble like added, and it just like it builds in wider ways. And I think I know the Lord of the Rings isn't for everybody. Fantasy is not really my thing either, but I think Lord of the Rings is the one exception to that rule. Lord of the Rings, not The Hobbit. I watched all the extended ones of those recently, and I think smacking my head with a hammer might have been better. But I think The Lord of the Rings is definitely an exception, and that cast is what makes it. I was watching a video the other day of like line readings from The Lord of the Rings and quotes from The Lord of the Rings, and it like really cheesy ones and really out of place ones that only work because of the actors that say them. And I mean, most of it is Ian McKellen, but like they're right. There's a lot of stuff, like a lot of stuff in, especially the second one where Orlando Bloom is just explaining stuff, like they're coming from the forest and all, like all just it's basically exposition. But because he plays that elf so well, it really heightens the movie and makes it the epic that it is, rather than boring and cheesy. So yeah, I went Two Towers, that, and it's the best Lord of the Rings movie.
I understand why he went Two Towers. I think Fellowship's my favorite movie, but there's no denying the cast is just superb. And like you said, there's a lot of those characters you can't imagine being played by anyone else. And I can't imagine half of Samwise Gamgee's lines would work with anyone other than Sean Astin in the role, because some of the stuff he says is pretty ridiculous. Like he's the love he has for Frodo. It's like it's really earnest, but I think anyone else doing it, it might come across like really cheesy or even like more like innuendo, like he's kind of like people might actually think he's gay, whereas the character just comes across this wholesome guy that loves his friend. And Sean Astin does a great job.
Yeah.
And Gollum, I mean, I've already told you my thoughts on Gollum. Every time that motherfucker's on screen, I'm having the best time of my life. So Andy Serkis's Gollum is one of my favorite castings.
Definitely, 100%. I think, as well as like having the overall, I think Lord of the Rings is one. I know it's a category later, but I think Lord of the Rings is one that I know it's already a trilogy. It's based off a trilogy of books, but even the films themselves, the first one is great. The second one builds off it and becomes even better. The third one builds off that and becomes even. I think if it weren't for the ending of three, where it goes on forever, it would be my favorite. But it's just constantly an upgrade. And they're just amazing films.
Yeah, cool. So what category are you going with next?
The
Yeah.
I'll take villain.
Right, okay.
And I was, oh no, I wasn't, I'm not going to say what I was going to take because I don't want to give you any ideas. But I was going to give a weekly mention. But instead, I think I am going to go with one of the best, not only one of the best villains to be introduced in a sequel, but it's also one of the biggest upgrades on the villains, and still, in my opinion, the pinnacle of CG in a movie, even though it's quite old now. I'm going with Davy Jones in Pirates of the Caribbean 2.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going somewhere else when you were saying that.
What are you gonna say?
So I there was one that literally came to my head as you were explaining it, and then as you went further in, I was like, shit, he's not actually the one I've just come up with, is he? But that's not it. But David Jones is a good one. That's good. That is, the CGI is incredible.
It's this. I mean, even now, the CGI is better than most things we get, and I know it's because obviously studios are stretched, so you're never going to get that quality again. But it's just so he's just so intense. He's just so like compelling. There's so many mysteries that are, like surrounding him when he's introduced. But outside of that, his fucking performance by Bill Nye is incredible. Like his facial, like you can obviously, it's the first time they ever did a CG character being portrayed on set rather than in a different studio, like obviously with the dots and everything on his face. But he's so interesting to look at. His design is incredible. He's such a good adversary to Jack Sparrow because Jack Sparrow is chaos. Jack Sparrow is like unpredictable and all that kind of stuff. Whereas Davy Jones is inevitable, and he's like he is that hard place that you just can't get past. Like, there's no moving him, and he's just a fantastic character. And I think the first Pirates is an amazing movie, and I love it so much. It's one of my favorite. In fact, the Pirates trilogy is one of my favorite trilogies of all time. It's one of my perfect trilogies. But I don't think it's hard to see a world where it worked if they hadn't have done it this way with Davy Jones. And I think he should be up there and talked about a lot more. Unfortunately, yeah, he's not outside of CGI conversation, but he's such a great villain. But yeah, I went with Pirates 2.
Yeah, Dead Man's Chest.
That's the one.
Yeah, good shout, good shout. I actually only watched all of them. The first one I'd watched a lot as a kid, 'cause I had it on video, but I'd only watched the rest of them in the last couple of years because Ellen is a big fan of them. So it wasn't until fairly recently that I'd seen David Jones.
Just about to say, Ellen has got good taste, and then remembered. But he's also got
Remember who she's engaged to.
he's also got like one of the best themes as well. That theme on the organ, there's a hardcore one where he's like when he's angry, and it's very like intense. But he's also got like it's very rare like you have a villain that's got a soft theme as well. And obviously, because he has a broken heart and everything, he has a really soft theme as well. It is like a love theme to go with his. Backstory as well as like an intense, like proper villain soundtrack. So yeah, I think he's just got everything.
Yeah.
I'm interested to think what you've got now.
So this one only came to me as you was going through it, and you're mentioning like how the film's a bit older, but the CGI and stuff looks incredible. So I'm going with Dr. Octopus from Spider-Man 2.
That was my original. Then he popped. Then Davy Jones popped to me. I went, yeah, fuck it. He doesn't hold a candle.
Get fucked. Don't try to shoot me down there. This is my pick. I think I prefer the performance. I think there's no denying the CGI with David Jones is better, but I think Alfred Molina's performance is just incredible. And I know they did it kind of similarly in the first movie with Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin, where there was a sympathetic side to the character and there was a tragic backstory to how they became the villain they did. And like having Doc Ock lose his wife with those experiments that send him mad, it makes you feel sympathy for a character that's about to do just despicable things, and it makes it hard to really truly hate them. And I think he does such a good job in the role. And like the fight scenes in the second one, like because obviously Dr. Octopus is one of Spider-Man's most iconic villains, and get to see that on the big screen with all the mechanical arms, it made for some really incredible scenes. Like the one at the bank when he's throwing the bags and winning stuff, it's so fucking good. And I think having his ending change from the first movie, where Green Goblin was a bastard to the very end, whereas in the second one, Doc Ock kind of redeems himself right at the conclusion. And I think Alfred Molina in the role was he was fucking awesome. He's so good, and like they reinforced that by bringing him back, obviously decades later in No Way Home. But in that first movie, the everything about him was just, I don't think you could have improved it. Like the CGI, the mechanical arms, the story, the performance, it was all fucking awesome. And I really liked Green Goblin, so there was a lot to live up to after his performance in the first movie. And it would have been really easy for him to go with someone that just wasn't as good, and it was like they did in the third one. But Doc Ock was fucking sick.
And I think like part of what made it good at the end when he redeems himself is that he redeems himself, but he's still a broken man. Like he hates like what he's done because he's like, I mean, part of the explanation is why he's a bad guy is because he's not fully in control, and the arms have taken over because obviously it's comic booky. But like he plays it so, because again, that's one where it could have been really, really cheesy. But he plays it so well and plays that like despair over what he's done, and, like trying to redeem himself and realizing there's only one way he can do it. I agree with that one. It's a good choice. I genuinely thought you was going to go Terrified too.
No, that would have been a good one. That would have been a good one.
That's
Another
how we
one.
mentioned. We started off talking about Godzilla, and that's our weekly mention for Terrifier.
Yeah, that would have been a good one. I do like a Terrified 2. So next I'm gonna go with the biggest upgrade on the original. There aren't too many sequels that you can say is better than the original. Like there's a moment in Scream 2, which I'm not picking for this category, by the way, but there's a moment in Scream 2.
If you did, I'd be like, right, okay, I've enjoyed doing the podcast with you, mate, but I think it's over now.
But there is a moment in it where they actually specifically talk about how sequels are by definition inferior to the originals, and there aren't many that are better. But there are a very select number that do take whatever works in the first one and made them better in the second. So my pick for the best sequel, the biggest upgrade, is Top Gun Maverick. Top Gun Maverick, because this could
Yeah.
have been picked in the most unnecessary sequel as well. At the time, a lot of people thought that before it came out. I mean, I did. I never even seen the original Top Gun, but I thought, well, what's the fucking point? Like,
Yeah.
it's been 30 odd years. We don't need a second one of these movies. And I was never a big Tom Cruise fan, but then I watched Top Gun Maverick and it made me look like a right idiot. Because I watched the first one just before, because I knew I'd seen, because obviously I worked at the cinema then and I'd seen clips of Maverick whilst I was in screens, and it started to pique my interest. So I went home and watched the first one. I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was like incredible by any means, but I thought it was okay. Went and watched the second one at the cinema and it just blew me away. I thought it was just so fucking good. I think it took everything about the first one and just like times it by 10. I think while I love Val Kilmer in the first one, I think the cast in the second one is better. I think Jennifer Connelly as the love interest is better for Maverick. I think Maverick's more likable in the second one because he's obviously gone through some stuff, losing his best friend in the first one, and he's much older and I'd say wiser, but not really. The action scenes are better. The soundtrack is better, which might be controversial to say, considering the first one's obviously synonymous with like Danger Zone and
Yeah, I can't agree with you on soundtrack, but
no,
everything
I think the
else.
second one's fucking awesome. I just think it's a better movie, and I think the ending, the way that the film ends with Maverick finally teaming up with Goosey's son Rooster, who's held this grudge against him all throughout the movie, and they team up against the villains who are left nameless, which is quite probably wise in today's political climate. And then the way Glenn Powell's character Hangman, who this was the, I feel like the first time I've come across Glenn Powell as well, and he really fucking stole the show. And I mean, and it proves it because then the next couple of years he's like become one of these big stars who's in everything. But the way he returns to save the day, it struck such a sweet chord for me, and I love Maverick.
You know what? You might have won this one because you're making me want to watch it again. See,
Yeah, I know.
I watched it in the IMAX and I vowed I would never watch it again unless it came back into the IMAX. But you are making me want to rewatch it now.
Yeah, it's a special movie. I really liked it. And like I said, before these movies, I wasn't sure I liked Tom Cruise. And then I watched Maverick, and now I've watched about 20 Tom Cruise movies. So that
Big
he proved me wrong with Maverick.
if a film can make you like Tom Cruise, I think, yeah. I've always liked Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible and only Mission Impossible, but after Top Gun, I went back and started watching stuff as well. And yeah, I had a similar journey to you. See, now I'm torn now because I've got two picks, and I could use one of them for something else. Fuck. No, fuck it. It's still the best MCU movie, and it's a massive upgrade on the original one. So, and that is Winter Soldier. It,
Good shout.
yeah, I mean, there's so much that's happened in Marvel. Obviously, the quality is not what it used to be, but the Winter Soldier, I genuinely think, comic book movie or no, is one of the best movies of late, and it is. I say of late, like when did it come out? Like fucking 10 years ago.
2014, yeah, it's been a decade.
Fog
That's like when
me.
I saw someone refer to a film from 2009 as an older movie. I almost vomited.
It, like, if you were to watch Captain America 1 and then Avengers, you could kind of imagine what a sequel would be, and it just doesn't do that at all. It's, I mean, I'm not going to say it's the deepest spy thriller of all time, but it's like spy thriller for beginners, but it, even that, it does so well. The attitude, that like the kind of vibe of the movie is completely changed. The actions like cranked up to 11. Like that fight scene in the street, is still one of the best, I think, in all of Marvel. Bringing back his best friend as as the villain, a brainwashed villain, in Winter Soldier is obviously a comic book thing, but it's done really, really well. I think the performances of Chris Evans and I was going to say Anthony Mackie, but that's definitely not him. It's Sebastian Stan really like ground that movie. Like at the heart of that, it's their friendship. You've obviously got all the Shield stuff and like kind of spy under stuff, and I think you've got Sam Jackson's best performance in a Marvel movie as well in there as Nick Fury, and you obviously got Robert Redford and Scarlett Johansson, everybody. I think it's just the best Marvel sequel, the best Marvel movie, the biggest upgrade on any Marvel movie, I think, personally. I think it's just, yeah, it's just one of them sequels that kind of go, okay, that was one thing, we're going to do this thing, and it's completely changing tone, and it works so well. I think that helps because Marvel movies can be very different. Like, each one can be very different, so that does kind of help it. But specifically Captain America movies, I think it's just so much of an upgrade, it's unreal.
Yeah, I actually really, really like the first Captain America movie. I love the World War II setting, but I agree that Winter Soldier is probably still to this day my favorite MCU movie. So I do think that is a great shout. That is a great shout.
Is it my turn?
It is, because you just finished talking.
Fucking hell. There's a fear. I'm gonna go most unnecessary sequel.
Cool.
And but I'm kind of, while it's saying unnecessary, I'm also kind of stipulating, I think it's also like by unnecessary, it's also very disappointing.
Okay, yeah.
And I waited for this sequel for years. For years since the first one came out. And I love the first movie so much. It's Pixar's best still, in my opinion. But Incredibles 2, it just did not need to be made.
That's a good show.
Incredibles 2 has some very small moments where it's good, but it's such a bland, boring movie compared to the first one. It lost all of its spark, all of its heart. It just really didn't need to be made. The first one's so good as a one and done movie. Like, some films can just be one and done, and I think a lot of Pixar sequels, I kind of feel the same way. Like, Finding Dory and Inside Out 2, and what's the other one, that Cars 2. Like, they all just kind of lose the way and lose the heart of the first one because you can't replicate it. But I think Incredibles is the biggest victim of that, and yeah, it just, I think it was too long, too far away from the original. Did that thing that most sequels kind of fall into the trap of, oh, you like that from the first one, we're going to bring it back, and it just didn't work. I mean, the first one is essentially Watchmen for kids, and I love that about it. And the second one is just typical superhero movie, but for kids. And it just really didn't need to be made. It should have been left alone. I really don't like that movie.
And I've actually only watched that once when it came out, and I have no interest in revisiting. Well, I think I watched the first Incredibles movie about 50 times, and that was my favorite Pixar movie as a kid. I agree, like the first one feels like it's like in tone with like the 1950s like Superman serials and stuff like that. Whereas the new one, it felt it's way too modern. I
Yeah.
didn't feel like it was in the same genre, and I didn't like it at all. I will say though, it's got Sophia Bush in it, who is one of my all-time crushes, so I have to cut it some slack.
Also got Bob Odenkirk in it, which is one of my all-time crushes.
See, my unnecessary sequel, I'm not saying this is a bad movie because I don't think it is. I quite like it, but I think the first one, it could have ended there and it would have been perfect. It was like such an effective one and done story that you could leave it alone forever and it would have just and it still would be the classic it is today. I don't think you need the sequel. You are?
Back to the Future too.
Oh, fuck off. We needed that. We needed all three of them. So this is it's a movie that inspired a lot of sequels. Like it's not just one, but the very first one is the one I'm obviously going to talk about. I watched it very recently, and that's Halloween 2.
Okay.
Because I like Halloween 2 and I watched it literally yesterday, and it was better than I remembered, and I think it's better than a lot of people say it is. And the opening is like really good, but the first Halloween movie is it's a masterpiece. It's a classic. It's probably one of the greatest horrors of all time. It's probably the best slasher of all time, and the way that movie is told where Michael Myers escapes from this mental asylum, shows up in Haddonfield and goes on a mad murder spree over one night. And the way it ends with he gets shot out the window by Dr. Loomis, and then his body's gone. And then we see these different shots of Haddonfield, like areas we've seen throughout the movie, and you can hear his breathing in the background, which is kind of saying he's gone, but he's also everywhere. Like he's the boogeyman, you can't contain him. Like if the movie ended like that and we never saw it again, I think that's so fucking effective. I think
Yeah.
you'd never know what happened to him that night. But instead, we've got Halloween 2 a few years later, and it's picks up right afterwards, and we see him immediately get up and just start cutting through fucking Haddonfield again. Like I think the mystery of where he went, and like I said, those closing shots where you hear him breathing, it's so effective, and it's some of John Carpenter's best stuff. And I love the Halloween franchise, and I love some of the movies afterwards. Like we did H2O and the 2018 Halloween last year, and I like both of them a lot. But
Right.
I think if you ended it with the first one, it would have worked so well, and none of the sequels were really needed. I'm glad we got them, but they weren't needed.
No, yeah. I mean, I've not seen as many Halloween ones as you, but yeah, I would agree that you don't need one after the first one
Yeah,
at
and also
all.
the second one decided to add the whole Laurie's Michael's sister. I didn't need that shit. I really
Yeah.
didn't need that shit.
You get too much of a connection
Yeah,
where it's
it could have just been a random. It should have been a random woman that it, so it could happen to anyone.
agreed.
Right. What have we got left? Best soundtrack, is that it? And then
Yeah, and
mystery ones that we haven't told each other yet.
that is true.
Cool. So, best soundtrack. This one is. I know you ain't picking this one, it's right left into this late. This one's a bit ridiculous, but I'm doing it anyway. Best soundtrack, Mamma Mia 2.
Fucking
Here we
hell.
go again. I fucking love Mamma. I mean, I'm on the controversial island that I think Mamma Mia 2 is better than the first one. No one else in the world seems to think that, but I do.
Agree, but only because it's got
Lily James.
Lily James in it.
Yeah, she's great. I love the songs in the second one. I think while the first one has obviously a lot of ABBA's best songs, the second one uses some that aren't as well known, and I think it works even better because the first one you hear the songs and you immediately think of ABBA, whereas the second one I don't necessarily go straight to that. Like, why did it have to be on the boat? One of the pinnacles of cinema. Fucking love that with young Bill. The version of Mamma Mia in the second one with Lily James singing it in the cafe after she breaks up with Sam, I think it's superb. Waterloo, incredible. Kiss the Teacher, sensational. I just think the second soundtrack is fucking awesome. And the song at the end that Meryl Streep sings when her daughter's having a christening for her child and Meryl Streep's spirit's like watching. Incredible. And then I actually fucking cry at the credits when they sing Super Trooper. So what
You
can I
did, I
say?
mean, I was a witness to you crying.
Yeah, because it's Sam and Donna reunited. No one seems to get it. Eleanor was like, no, that's just the actors singing together. I was like, no, that's Sam and fucking Donna. Mamma Mia
Oh.
2 means a lot to me. And that was a movie that actually just came to me as I started to explain that. Originally, it wasn't even my pick. As soon as I said, this is a movie you ain't gonna have, Mamma Mia 2 popped into my head. It wasn't even the movie I was going with originally.
Oh, tell me what you were going to go with, because I don't know.
You won't go with that either, but I was going to go with High School Musical too.
Yeah, fucking no, I'm not going with that. Not a fucking chance. Oh.
It's
The only one I didn't write one down for because I couldn't think of one.
tough.
Yeah, cheers, mate. I. This makes for a good podcast, this does.
No,
I.
yeah.
Oh, okay. Tron Legacy. Have you seen Tron Legacy?
I've never seen
It's
any of the Tron movies.
basically, it's obviously a sequel. It's very much like it's a legacy sequel where you've gone back years later and the characters are older and there's a whole new kind of cast and then they bump into the old guard and Jeff Bridges takes them over to the new story kind of thing. But the entire soundtrack is. It's all obviously all very digital, all very like a synthy and digital, a very 80s inspired, but it's Daft Punk and they do the entire soundtrack. And it is literally one of the best parts of the movie. Like it's such a vibe of a soundtrack, and it is on rotation sometimes in my Spotify. It's not, not traditionally in terms of soundtrack. It's not very orchestral or anything. It's just it sounds really fucking cheesy to say, but if you went into the like, if you imagine like what it's like to go into a digital world, it sounds exactly like that, and it's such a good soundtrack, and not some of the best work, obviously, because it is just for a film, but it's extremely iconic, and I love it so much. But if you've never seen Tron Legacy, I don't really know how to explain it to you, or any of the
Yeah,
Tron.
I've never seen any of the Tron movies, but I went to Florida earlier this year, as you know, and there's a Tron ride there now, and I went on that, and there was a lot of that sort of music played in it, so I kind of know what you mean, and I quite liked it.
It's such a vibe.
Yeah, that's a solid pick. I would never have thought of it because, like I said, I've not seen it, so I don't think
Well,
we was were in
yeah.
danger of taking each other's soundtracks.
Pardon?
We weren't in danger of taking each other's soundtracks.
Well, I think it's hard with soundtracks because a lot of sequels kind of just borrow from the original movies.
Yeah, like Back to the Future.
And like, if I was to pick Empire would have been a good one to pick for soundtrack because it introduces Darth Vader's theme that's not in the Imperial March isn't in the first one. So it's a massive upgrade. And you kind of always think why that's always been in the first one, but it hasn't. But
Yeah, that's surprising. I didn't notice that.
if I hadn't have picked Empire for ending, I wouldn't have no idea what I would have done for that one.
Yeah, that was a tough one. Cool. So that's the eight ones that we both know done. It's interesting that we've now got a couple of surprise ones that need, we've got one each that we haven't told the other yet. And it's interesting that we don't know whether you're going to name one and I'm going to have the perfect idea, but it's one that I've used already. I can't be, because we can't be strategic with these ones. So it adds an interesting layer to things. And it's your turn, so you can go with your new category.
Well, I wrote two questions and I now can't ask one of them because you've already given me the perfect answer. So please don't. I'm not going to say it because I don't want you to steal it. It's in my turn, I get to go first.
Yeah.
Yes. So we talked about films that are upgrades on the first one. So films that are better than the first one. But what is a film that you can watch and it makes the first one even better? So retroactively, if you was to watch the first one, it improves it because you've watched the second one. Which is so do you want me to take I'll say mine so it gives you a bit of time to think. But I'm gonna go with Blade Runner 2049.
Right.
It's such a I mean it's such a good movie anyway. And I know Ridley Scott's not a massive fan of it, but I think for fans, it's such a good film. That obviously introduces Ryan Gosling, so automatically it gets a plus one star for me. And it is one of the few films that makes me not want to punch Jared Leto in the face. So that's another half star from me. But it takes the story of the first one and just kind of expands on it, but doesn't do it almost, it doesn't do it immediately. It does it gradually over the course of the film. And then by the end of it, you go back and watch the first one, and you can kind of see where the threads start, even though they were never there in the original. Like, if you just watch just the original, which I know people kind of like to do, but you can kind of see where the threads start, and you can see how it naturally grows and how this world is slowly being built over these two movies. The second one is such an atmospheric movie, it's so beautiful to look at. Harrison Ford comes back in, I know he loved Blade Runner and Indiana Jones more than he ever loved Han Solo. So it's nice for him to come back and give it his all. He doesn't put in a grumpy Han Solo performance. It's really, really good. But I think it's one that complements and improves the first one rather than, I wouldn't say it's better because I actually do kind of prefer the first one, but it complements it and also kind of improves it and it's seamless and it doesn't do that, in my opinion, doesn't do the thing where it ruins aspect from the first one. There's only one kind of thing that, one kind of mystery that it kind of gets rid of, which I know a lot of fans aren't a fan of whether Deckard is a replicant or not. But that was never kind of a thing for me, so it doesn't bother me as much. But outside of that, it doesn't disrespect the original in any way. I think it just enhances it and grows it. So yeah, I went with Blade Runner 2049. Plus, I love a good cyberpunk type story and some synth music. And Ryan Gosling in a fucking beautiful coat.
Ryan Gosling in general wins every time.
Well, you can, yeah, that's also true.
We watched Drive recently, didn't we? And that could be the pinnacle of cool. It could be the pinnacle of cool. Ryan Gosling in that film is fucking sensational.
That you can do something like Drive and Blade Runner, but also be like Ken.
Yeah.
Like, what a guy.
What a multi-faceted human being.
And hot.
So you've obviously thrown a spanner in the works for that, because that was a tough one to think off the top of my head. And I've gone with one which I don't think many people would expect. A lot of people don't realize it's a sequel, but it is. So my pick is The Color of Money, the Martin Scorsese movie from 1986, starring Tom Cruise and Paul Newman, about these like hustlers. Like, they play pool and they hustle people to make money. And it's a sequel to a film from the 1960s called The Hustler, which is also starring Paul Newman as this same character. It's called Fast Eddie. And in the first movie, you watch it, and I mean, it's a good movie, it's fine. And it's about this young, like, hotshot who's making money hustling people. And then it's only enhanced, though, when you watch The Color of Money and you see where he is 20 plus years later, coaching Tom Cruise's character. And you get these extra added layers to Paul Newman's character, where he's older, he's not quite satisfied with where life turned out. He struggles to maintain relationships, but he's still kind of like this, like, cocky, brash, not athlete because he's a pool player, but like he's a winner.
Please.
And like, there's a big showdown between him and Tom Cruise in the movie. Like, despite the fact he starts off as his mentor, they end up like clashing in a game of pool at a tournament. And it's like, you don't know who's going to win. It's like the young versus the old. It's like the passing of the guard type of situation. And The Color of Money is one of Martin Scorsese's most underrated movies. He makes pool look like the most entertaining game in the entire world. And it's one of Tom Cruise's, I mean, Tom Cruise always plays, his best role is arrogant dickhead.
Yeah.
And he does it to perfection in The Color of Money. He's young. It's still, this is still when he's younger days. It's like I said, it's the 80s, so he's like mid-20s. He's got a girlfriend in it, but he's like cocky, he's a flirt, he's too big for his boots. And Paul Newman's this weathered man that was very similar in the first movie, but now he knows better, and he's trying to right the wrongs and to steer him down the right path. And it makes The Hustler more satisfying watch. I say this, it's kind of cheating because I watched Color Money first, so I don't know what The Hustler was like without it, but it definitely makes that movie better knowing what comes afterwards.
Yeah.
So The Color of Money, one of Martin Scorsese's most underrated movies, and I love it. And I love Paul Newman. I don't think these days, I don't think we talk about him enough. Like, in Cars, there's Doc Hudson, sensational. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, fucking superb. I love Paul Newman. I wish he was around. I mean, obviously, he can't be around more now because he's dead, but I wish more people knew about him.
Love that your first example of him was Doc Hudson.
I was just playing to my audience. I thought that might be the only one you'd seen.
Yeah, that's true.
But he's great. I love Paul Newman. So yeah, I'm glad I could get at least one Martin Scorsese movie in here, because it's the only sequel he ever did.
Yeah.
So that was good for me to get. Now, it's time for my surprise category. And this is one that I had trouble coming up with one. There was a few I danced around. I was thinking maybe like best Christmas sequel or best horror sequel, but I've decided I'm going with the best new addition to a sequel, the best new character that's added in a sequel that isn't in the original. And mine is, shout out to one of our favorite horrors, it's Sienna in Terrifier 2. Because I think the first Terrifier works fantastically as like a showcase for Art the Clown and what he can do, and that's why there's no winner. He just takes everyone out. No one overcomes him. He just fucks everyone up in the first movie, and it's more like a highlight reel of Art the Clown and the sort of sadistic shit that he's capable of. And then in the second one, Damien Leone builds on it, and he decides that's when he brings in his final girl, and it's Sienna, who has recently lost her father. She's struggling to come to terms with that, but she has this link to Art the Clown. And I mean, it's hard to really say too much, but the showdown that she ends up having with him. And then obviously she shows up in the third movie as well. And the iconic look she has in the second movie with her Halloween costume with like the almost like the suit of armor and the wings type of situation. I just think she's incredible. And I think the actress is superb in the role. It's not obviously being cast in that film, it wasn't a big budget at the time. Like the second movie was, I think the budget was like $250,000 or something like that. And she wasn't well known, but now after that and the third one, she seems to really be like hitting the zeitgeist. And I see a lot more people like sharing stuff about her on social media, and she seems to be popping up more like on these different like red carpets and stuff. And I feel like she's about to really stretch out into different movies, whereas but I'd rather just see her play Sienna for the rest of my life.
Right.
That's tough.
See, I've got a really good one, but it's the third movie.
Ah, well, you know the rules.
And so do I. Walk. So I really want to say Kong in
Kong.
Godzilla Kong. But that's third, technically fourth movie. Oh, fuck. Oh, I think you may have stumped me. No, I don't want to do comic books again because we talk about comic book movies a lot. But we did an episode recent, not recently, because it's been several months since we did our group of episodes. But we did an episode where we talked about Best Batman. And my favorite Batman was introduced technically in the second movie, which is Batman versus Superman and Ben Affleck's Batman. I think, I mean, it's a very contentious movie. A lot of people, it has divided more people than the Man of Steel did. But I, especially the Ultimate Edition, I absolutely love Batman versus Superman. And I genuinely think Ben Affleck is my favorite Batman. And it is because of that movie. I love the tortured, retired, angry Batman. I love his suit. I love the way that Ben Affleck portrayed him. I think he's completely overhated, underrated, and definitely didn't deserve everything that happened. Like, he could have been a definitive Batman. Like, Ben Affleck was so good. He was ruined by Joss Whedon's Justice League and The Flash and all the other appearances they kind of given him. You kind of got to see what he would have naturally grown into in Zack Snyder's Justice League. And in Batman versus Superman, whilst being a very controversial movie among DC fans, definitely introduced one of the better iterations of Batman. And for some of a lot of people like want dark and gritty Batman, but I mean, we talked about it in the car the other day after coming back from the Christopher Reeve story. Like the whole Batman doesn't kill, Superman doesn't kill kind of thing. Like people like jumped on it too much because they thought Zack Snyder was being edgy. But in reality, like it suited that version of Batman, and that Batman needed to go on that journey, just like that Superman needed to go on that journey to kind of realize that he was angry and he needed to reel himself back in. I love Ben Affleck's Batman. He's built like a brick shit house. He's like so well done. His Bruce Wayne is not kind of traditional Bruce Wayne. You can, without being told a backstory, even when he is Bruce Wayne, you can see there's a lot of history there because he's not playing it aloof. He's not playing like this silly billionaire that everybody thinks is an idiot. He's still quite angry in his portrayal of Bruce Wayne as well. I think, yeah, such a great introduction of a character. It's cheating because it is Batman. It's not like a new addition, but it's a bit cheating, but it's such a great addition to the world of Zack Snyder's kind of DC. That, yeah, I think also good foil for Henry Cavill's Superman, because Henry Cavill's Superman's on a journey of growing into the light, whereas Batman's trying to drag him into the dark. And I think it's a nice dichotomy, and I really, really love that. I mean, you know how much I love Ben Affleck's Batman, so.
Yeah, he's probably my favorite live action Batman as well. So that was actually someone I considered. I also considered it for the best movie that makes the original like more enjoyable. Like once you've watched it, you go back and enjoy the first one more. That was because we're probably alone in the sense that there aren't many people that enjoy the Batman versus Superman, especially that like you said the Ultimate Edition, like quite like we do. But yeah, good choice. It brings the category carnage to an end. I'll quickly run through mine if I can remember them all. You know what my memory's like. It's fucking shot to bits.
Did you up to doubt?
No, therefore, I told you I was winging it today. So my main character, I went Christopher Reeve Superman in Superman 2. My villain, I went with Dr. Octopus in Spider-Man 2. My overall cast, I went with Aliens, the sequel to obviously Ridley Scott's horror classic. The best beginning, I went Back to the Future 2 because obviously I was name dropping Back to the Future 2 at some point. The best ending, I went The Godfather Part 2, Michael Corleone's downfall. The upgrade on the original, I went with Top Gun Maverick. This best soundtrack, I went Mamma Mia Part 2, Here We Go Again. The best, the movie that makes the original, that enhances the original, I went with, oh fuck, no, Colour of Money. I almost forgot then, fuck. And then the best new addition in terms of character to in a sequel, I went with Sienna in Terrifier 2 because I like to mention that film once a week and I love it.
What was your unnecessary sequel?
Oh shit, yeah, I missed that because I didn't write that down. Halloween 2.
Oh yeah, of course it was, yeah.
Yeah, I've got all the category the other categories listed here. And that one, because we decided that one 5 minutes before we start recording. It's not written down there, so I forgot about it.
Yeah, I went Terminator in Terminator 2 for best main character, Davy Jones for villain, overall cast, I nearly said the Twin Towers then. A lot of things are two towers.
God.
The best opening, The Dark Knight, ending, Empire Strikes Back, obviously. The biggest upgrade, Winter Soldier. But I've just remembered that my second choice, in case you pick Winter Soldier, was Puss in Boots, which would have been a fucking great choice. Best soundtrack, Tron Legacy. Most unnecessary sequel, Incredibles 2. Film that made the first one better, Blade Runner, and then. Best new addition to a cast in a sequel, Ben Affleck's Batman.
Some solid list there. Some very
Love
solid
it.
list.
I love Carnage, and I really enjoy this edition of not knowing what we're going to say at the end,
Yeah, the two hidden categories.
even though it stresses me out.
Yeah, and it can be risky because we could spend 45 seconds in silence thinking, like, I'm not actually sure I know anything you said about Blade Runner 49, because in my head I was just thinking, think of a fucking sequel, think of a fucking sequel.
Good job you do notebook talk about Terrifier 2 and Sienna, because I already knew what you were going to say, so I could have zoned out and quite looking. And I'm looking around at all my DVDs going, which fucking one's here?
Honestly, when you were talking about Blade Runner, I was like scanning the posters on my walls to see if there was any sequels up there. And apparently, there aren't many. I
That's a
think
few.
I've got Back to the Future, that's obviously got a sequel. I've got Jaws, but I would Jaws sequels and cheeks. I've got Halloween and Scream. I don't think any of the other movies. Oh, Godfather, but I've already talked about Godfather too, so I couldn't do that. The
I was
rest.
going to, one of the questions I was going to say, but you already ruined it for me, was best legacy sequel. But then Top Gun, nothing's going to beat that. And then
That's
all the
true.
ones I could try to think of out, because I was trying to like end it like in a nice rounding way of, well, Gladiator is going to be a bit of a legacy sequel. Let's end on that. Then I was like, well, Ghostbusters is technically the third one. And
Yeah.
Halloween is a sequel to the first one, but it's got so many others between it. Does it even
There's
care
like,
on?
yeah, there's like eight in between.
But even though
Eight
it's a sequel,
between.
I was going to argue it's a sequel to the first one, but yeah, I know you would have argued me out of that one. So, but nothing's beating Top Gun.
No, Top Gun Maverick was special.
Yeah,
What a
very.
summer that was. What a summer. Well, that brings another episode to an end then. I'm going away this week, which I'm really excited for. So this will be out on Thursday, but this will be the last time I speak to you for a while, thankful.
Then.
I've got a week off now, I'm so fucking excited. Christmas films will be by the time next time we record, I'll have started watching Christmas movies, which is exciting.
Amazing. Well, I'm on day 3 of a 10-day streak off work, so
Oh
that's
yeah, I forgot you were off as well.
yeah.
Today is my first day and 8 days off, so
Nice.
very exciting.
I'm gonna stop recording, go and watch the original, very first original 1954 Godzilla. Then
That's
I'm
the
with you.
first time I've sneezed on podcast, you know.
Surely not.
It's just a really random thing to bring up. I just sneezed and I was doing it, I was thinking to myself, have I done this before? Something
Bless
else.
you.
Thank you very much.
Then going to watch Godzilla Minus One in black and white tonight at the cinema. So I'm starting, well, not starting the day because it's like, what, 12 o'clock, but starting the day with the first Godzilla and ending the day with the latest Godzilla.
No better way to spend your time off. I've got a lot of shit to sort because obviously going away tomorrow, so I need to sort some stuff out. I need to go out to shop. I've got to record another podcast with Simo at some point today and all. So we're gonna go watch Wild Robot tonight. I don't know if I've even got time now, but we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, so thanks for watching slash listening, one and all. We hope you enjoyed the return of the category carnage and this focus on sequels. I had a good time with it. I think
Yep.
we did a good job. We covered some of the very best. I don't think, do you know when people always talk about the best sequels? I feel like there's a very select few mentioned. I feel like we got them all in there because it's like your Terminator 2, your Empire, your Aliens, your Godfather.
Yeah,
I think we
that's
covered them
true.
all,
That is true.
including Mamma Mia 2. Here we go again.
Yeah, that's true. You got Mamma Mia too. That's really all that matters. And you even managed to mention High School Musical too.
Yeah, I even name dropped. I got Terror for my Terrifier mention. I got Back to the Future 2. We just ticked all the boxes this week. One episode. One episode. So if you guys liked this episode, please feel free to like slash subscribe to the channel on YouTube or any other podcast services where you might be listening. Also feel free to leave us a nice review. We'd appreciate that a lot.
If you don't got anything nice to say, don't leave us a review.
Yeah, what's my mum used to say? If you haven't got nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. And I
And
follow that mantra every day.
what I always like to say is, I don't like criticism.
No, yeah, we know that. We know that too well. Anyway, we'll be back next week with an episode we haven't even planned yet, so that'll be interesting when we figure out what we're doing next week.
Versus Terrifier.
It's coming eventually, it feels like. The next week is when Gladiator comes out, so maybe the first Gladiator versus something, I don't know.
We'll figure something.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But
Gladiator
before,
is Paddington.
yeah, fucking ugly Gladiator murks that little bitch. Fuck
Yeah,
Paddington. And anyone that likes it. All right, thanks for tuning in, guys, and we'll see you in 7 days. We should have done that for the ring one. We should have done the 7 days at the end.
shit, yeah.
7 days.
Why don't we? I mean, yeah, I don't know if you want to stop recording, but why don't we add the start of this one? We'll add a ring and then you go in 7 days.
What with my accent? Fuck it, I don't think so. The least intimidating thing in the world. But yeah, off tangent.
Yeah,
Cheers, everyone. See you next week.
then yeah.